A little over a week ago, I was blessed with the opportunity to spend some time up in the North Woods of Wisconsin doing some reading and writing as part of a continuing education retreat. Part of that time of edification was a return to one of my favorite theologians, Robert Capon. I found his words ever so timely as the Festival of the Reformation, the festival whose 501st incarnation we celebrate today was right around the corner. The words of Father Capon. If we are ever to enter fully into the glorious liberty of the children of God, we are going to have to spend more time thinking about freedom than we do. The church, by and large, has had a poor record of encouraging freedom. She has spent so much time inculcating in us the fear of making mistakes that she had made us like ill-taught piano students. We play our songs, but we never really hear them, because our main concern is not to make music, but to avoid some flub that will get us in Dutch. She has been so afraid we will lose sight of the laws of our nature that she made us care more about how we look than about who we are, made us act more like the subjects of a police state than fellow citizens of the saints. The law of retribution reigns supreme in our fantasies, precisely to keep us off the main question of our lives. What would you do with freedom if you had it? On this day, we celebrate the heart of our faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that changes Father Capon's question from the subjunctive to the indicative. You are free. What are you going to do now? In our gospel for today, we encounter Jesus in a verbal tug of war with a group of Jews who have been following him up to this point in his ministry. Unless this specific group is the many who believed in him, that we read from the verse just prior to our reading today, we don't exactly know when they came on board the good ship Jesus, but it is made clear to the readers of the fourth gospel that they have indeed believed in Jesus. But now the wheels are about to fall off. The group before Jesus appears to understand his statement about being free as a political one. "We have never been in bondage," they respond. They don't need to be set free. Throwing history aside and the present occupation by Rome, Jesus replies that they are indeed in bondage and that they are slave to sin. That being in bondage to sin, they can never be permanent members of the household of God. That one in bondage to sin only holds a temporary place at best. But the Son has a place there forever. The Son has an everlasting occupancy in the household of the Most High. So if your freedom comes from the Son, your freedom is true and your freedom is permanent. Jesus offers those before him the very truth of himself, that he is the Son. The Son who holds a permanent place in the house of the Almighty. Because as the epistle to the Hebrews stresses, he built the thing. And the Son inherits that which is the Father's. So since the entirety of the household of faith, the household of the Almighty is the Son's, then it is through and only through the Son that the children of God have a place there forever. But still the people respond to Jesus with a nostalgia that clouds the truth of their predicament. The people deny their enslavement and deny their need for the sun to set them free from that which enslaves them. Truth and freedom are two great Reformation themes. It can be tempting to look on the past with nostalgia, and we may be tempted to respond to Jesus just as the people did in this instance. We might have the desire to declare that we are already made free, that we are not bound by anything, and we can get by just fine by ourselves. Well, the truth of the matter is that we too were in bondage to sin and have been set free through the love and redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been freed from death's grip upon us. So the heart of the matter is this: if we too have been made free, what has God freed us to do, to be? The Lutheran theologian Gerhard Ferdi puts it this way: what are you going to do now that you don't have to do anything at all? Have we been freed to cling to our past or to simply live for ourselves? Have we been given the permission to be unkind, apathetic, or compassionateless? Has God freed us to ignore the poor, the homeless, the immigrant, the refugee, and the marginalized? Is our life of freedom in the sun to be one lived like that of a police state, as Father Capon quipped? Have we been set free to dwell in the bondage of fear, hatred, and xenophobia? Have we been freed just to shackle ourselves to yet another form of bondage? Is the freedom that we have obtained in and through Christ lived out in the building of higher walls, the vitriol of divisive rhetoric, and the demonization of others? Is it to be expressed in acts of violence against those with whom we don't agree or with those whom we just don't or won't try to understand? No, no, and of course not. We have been freed from sin that we might serve and glorify God. We have been freed to live lives that share the good news of Jesus Christ to all ends of the earth. My friends, we have been freed from sin, death, and the devil so that we may truly live in Christ and through Christ. This identification we have as a child of God declares that God is indeed our Father. Part of Jesus' logic in these verses from John's Gospel is that one's Father is known by one's actions. Those who claim to have Abraham or the one true God as Father need to act in ways similar to Abraham or God. Jesus teaches that the world will know who his disciples are by the way we love one another. The world will know who we are as children of God by our living our lives as a witness to the freedom that we have in Christ, in the dying to ourselves and exhibiting the signs of a people who are truly free and know it. This is who we are as children of the Reformation. But more important, this is who we are as children of God. Children who have been set free by the Son, saved by grace through faith, apart from any works of our own, who are truly, truly free indeed. Amen.